Well, how are y'all tonight?
Boy, y'all awful quiet. Y'all just sitting there looking at me.
You know, out on the road this past week, when I was out on the road, I was talking a sermon I preached called Speak to Your Mountain. And a whole bunch of my Rhema grads that were there, and some of them, well, several of them were pastors, and some of them just were workers in the church, other churches, because they were from several churches. And they all said, man, we really needed to be reminded of that. You know, one of the pastors said, you know, you get out here and you get to preaching and teaching and you get away from some of those. And I was talking to somebody, another minister, just this week. And he was talking about, and he said the Lord been dealing with him, and he went and got Dad's, pack. When you open it up and you got all the CDs in it, what do you call that? A CD package or whatever it is. Anyway, an album. Thank you. See, he got that, and it was Dad's, the ABCs of Faith. And he was talking about the Lord saying we need to get back to the basics. And so thinking about that, I know y'all have heard faith around here and we do it some, but I just wanna give a little lesson tonight on maintaining your confession of faith. You know, of course we all know Mark 11:20-23, for surely I say unto you, whoever says this mountain be removed and cast into the sea, doth not in his heart believe what those things that he saith come to pass, yeah, whatever he says. Can y'all say it that fast? For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, notice that. He will have whatever he says. It's not a maybe thing. It's a sure thing. You know, the enemy fights to keep you from consistently staying on top of this, because he knows that if he can get you going in another direction, and he can, you know how we get going somewhere and we forget some of the basics. That's why it has to become a part of us. That's why that has to be a part of us. He fights the truth. You know, do you understand that the idea of confessing it's a universal law, both spiritually and naturally? You know, whatever you say consistently over a period of time is what happens. If you talk negatively all the time, that's what you get. Yes, yes. If you say positive things, that's what you'll get. If you say words of doubt and unbelief about something, that's what you'll get. Example, if you don't say, man, I just can't believe that. Well, that's what's going to happen. Right.
Nothing. Words of faith about something will get you something. Hello. You know, if you say godly things, that's what will happen in your life. If you talk ungodly things, that's what happens in your life. Somebody said, well, I don't understand. Well, hey, when you confess Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, what happened? You got what you confessed.
That's right.
Right? Is that not correct?
It is.
Is that not what Romans 10:9-10 says?
Yes,
confess with the mouth, believe in the heart, confess with the mouth.
Yes, sir.
Hello. You know, you remember the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus, and she kept asking for healing, and he ignored her finally to the point that the disciples said, hey, man, come on, do something about this. I'm paraphrasing now, okay? But she was consistent. She kept on saying. She was consistent. Because she maintained that consistency, She received what she wanted from Jesus.
Amen.
Hebrews 10:23. Now, I want to look at this. Hebrews 10:23. I'll give you all a chance to turn there. Or look it up on your phone or your iPad or your Bible. Some of you got both, I see. All right. Let's see. As soon as Miss Lynette gets there, I'll...
I'm there.
Okay. Because she gets on me all the time. She says, I go too fast. I don't give people a chance to turn there. All right. Let us hold fast our profession, our confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Now, I want you to notice some things in this verse. Notice this. Hold fast. Profession or confession. Without wavering. Hold fast. Why would he tell us to hold fast if it couldn't be taken away from us? No, he's holding on to something. No, he's holding fast to something if it can't be taken from you.
That's right.
Here, the writer of the Hebrews, which I think probably was Paul, and from all the study, of course, I had all that canonistic and bibliology and all that stuff in Bible school. And most every reputable person says it was either written by Paul himself or by one of his proteges, because the language in it is the Paulinian language. Now, somebody says, what is he talking about? Well, in theological circles, they call the writings of Paul the Paulinian literature and Johannine literature. Anybody know what that is? That's the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Johannine literature. It's just a fancy way of saying something. Hey, you know, we had, you know, different colleges take credit, our credits now, because, and we're actually not credited, but they were looking over our subjects, and we had to send them all our syllabuses and so forth, and they were looking over my subject I used to teach several years ago called Practical Ministries. Some of you that graduated back, how many of y'all haven't remember Practical? See, I told you, Practical Ministries. Well, they said, man, this is really a good course, and we could give credit for this if you'll change the title. I said, don't have to change. No, it's all fine. Just change the title to The Theology of Practical Ministry. Now it's acceptable. Oh, me. Hold fast. Hold fast. Turn to your neighbor and say, hold fast. What are you supposed to hold fast? Our confession. In other words, stay with it. If you say it, then keep saying it. And keep saying it. And keep saying it. And keep saying it. And keep saying it. You know, you've heard me preach Johnson paraphrase from Mark 11:23. He says, if you do not become separated from your statement, that's what holding fast, and that's what the profession is. You've got to not become separated. You know, I've heard people, they say, oh, praise God, I'm believing God for healing. I'm believing, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. You see them the next day, and they say, oh, I don't know whether I'm going to be able to make it or not. I don't know. They're not holding fast. And it says without wavering. Now, I've already talked too much over it because I've already got into my subject here. These phrases give us a good idea of what we need to do. Hold fast to our words without wavering. It indicates we should not, it indicates we should put effort into saying the same thing, saying what God said.
Amen.
See what the word said, not what somebody else said. Well, brother so-and-so said this. I don't care what brother so-and-so said. What did the Bible say?
Yes, sir.
That's what my dad used to, he would say that all the time. if you say something to him, he'll say, what does the Bible say? I go to him, Dad, what about this? What about this? And what about that? When I was younger, you know, and still at home, teenager. He said, what does the Bible say? His answer, and you can ask the people around here, there's several people around here that have traveled with him on the road, and he would tell people, Brother Hagin, what do you think about such and such? And he would look at them and very simply say, what does the Bible say? Yes. You know, one lady, she come and she said, now, Brother Hagin, now I want to marry this man, but he's not a Christian. And I just want to know what you think about it. He looked at her and said, what does the Bible say? And turned around and walked off. And you have to know Dad. That's the way he was. A lot of people don't realize that. You know, hold fast indicates the importance. If it wasn't important to hold on to your confession of faith, I don't think the author of the book here would have put it in there. See, we must learn to hold fast with our tongue with consistency. Not one thing one time and something else another time. You know, sometimes you have to tell yourself, this is what you're going to say. You may not want to say that, but that's what you're going to say. You know, if you've ever read Smith Wigglesworth's book, Ever Increasing Faith, he says, Smith doesn't tell me what to do. I tell Smith what to do.
Yes, sir.
Anybody ever read that in his Ever Increasing Faith? What he was talking about, the man on the inside is telling the man on the outside what he's doing, what he's supposed to do. Paul said, I keep under my body. Well, what in the world is he talking about? Well, the man on the inside is the real man. The outside man is just the body. This is just the house you're staying in for a little while down here.
Amen.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
See, sometimes you may need to, if you're married, you may need to get your spouse to hold fast to the confession. Mm-hmm. Now, come on. Don't sit down on me here. You agree together about something, pray about something, then both of you have got to hold fast. One of you can't let it go. You both got, there's no agreement if one has let it go and the other one's still doing the confession or the profession of it, is it? There's no agreement there. And guess what? When there's no agreement, nothing's going to happen. Hello. Now, hold fast. Okay, hold fast to your confession, what you say. So you better watch out what you're saying. Make sure that you're saying the right thing in line with God's word, not what somebody else said.
Amen.
What does the Bible say? I'm going back to that again. I want to reiterate that. The Lord bringing me back around that. It's important that you get back to it. See, this is nothing more than the ABCs of faith. But I tell you what, we need to be reminded of it. How many of you remember in school, if you can remember that far back? I don't have very far back to remember, so I can do it easily. What are y'all laughing at? Y'all all know I just celebrated my 76th birthday last month. But I can remember, you know, we learned this in the first grade. We went back and when we started the second grade, now Miss Fowler done went over all that stuff. Now Miss Granberry, she started and we went over the same thing again. Then I got to the third grade and Miss Ice did the same thing. In the fourth grade, Mitch Rose did the same thing. In the fifth grade, Miss Ward did the same thing. In the sixth grade, Miss Glenn did the same thing.
Now, after that, I'm in junior high school, because we had 7, 8, and 9 was in junior high school back in those days. Anybody remember when 7, 8, and 9 was junior high? So now we start going to different classes. But you know what? When I went into Mr. Brank's math class, the first part of the year, he started going over the same things that I'd been going over for the last 6 years. Then, of course, you go on into other things. But you have to, why do they keep going over that? Until it becomes a part of you.
Yes, sir.
Then when you sit down and you start working problems, you immediately see the formula that needs to be used to solve that particular problem.
Yes, sir.
Right? You know, you learn how to find the volume of a cylinder, and you learn how to find the circumference of the circle and the diameter of the circle, pi times square, blah, blah, blah. It goes on, you know. I can't get too far into it because I wasn't too good at math. Get me a science and history, we all right. But math and English, and you can tell I'm not very good at English. You just listen to me talk for a little while. See, now, when you were studying in school, if you were going to learn, what did you have to do? You had to put effort into it. You had to put effort into it. If you go to pass the test, you couldn't just scan read. You had to go in there and really comprehend what was being said on the page. You see, a lot of people talk, oh, I read the Bible today. What'd you read? Well, you know why they're doing that? They read it, but they weren't reading it. They were seeing the words, they were going through their mind, but they were not concentrating to comprehend it. Because, you know, on some of the tests that they give you in school, it's called a comprehension test. And you read a certain passage, couple of paragraphs or maybe a couple of pages. And then they ask you questions about it.
Yes,
you know, some of the people would go up real fast, you know, because they want to act like they are smart. But they start asking them questions about it. They couldn't answer the questions because they read it, but they didn't read it. Can you understand what I'm saying? See, that's what we got to do with the Word of God. When we read it, we got to read it so that it becomes a part of us. So that when the enemy begins to squeeze us with all of his mess, that instead of we wringing our hands and said, oh my God, what are we going to do now? Out of us comes, my God shall supply all of my needs. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm always a victor in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation in Christ. Hello. Let me understand where I'm coming from. See, that I'm talking about holding fast these things of God and then confessing them. You need to get out of bed every day and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. No weapon formed against me today will prosper.
Amen.
I have wisdom to face the day and every problem that God come up against.
Amen.
See? Now, it says, okay, hold fast the profession without wavering.
Yes,
you know, Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 says, and from the NIV says, then we no longer will be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up unto him who is the head, that is Christ Jesus. Now I want you to notice, he talks about winds of teachings by the waves and blown here and there by the winds of teaching. It's great to have people teaching. But have you ever noticed that sometimes what they're teaching is really not what the Word is saying?
Yeah.
When you get winds of teaching, they cause waves in our lives that will get us off course if we're not careful. Now I want you to think for me just a minute, with me for just a minute. How many of you have been watching Christian television for a number of years? Let me see your hands. Come on, be honest. You watch Christian. How many people have been on that screen with this doctrine and this doctrine and this and that and something else, and now it's nowhere to be found? Yes, it's not even around. Come on, be honest, right? But you know what? Ever since Christian TV started, my dad and I in the 70s was on one of the stations out in California, helped it get started, helped raise money. We were teaching faith. We were teaching, and you know what? That same teaching is still being taught today. But did you ever notice some of these other things, these whims of doctrine, have passed on by? But see, that's why I'm trying to get you with the Word. Stay with the Word.
Yes, sir.
See? Stay with the Word. Sometimes people, if you're not careful, they devise, it seems like, and it says here, they devise schemes that that hinders your faith rather than helps it. If we don't maintain the confession of faith, we'll be tossed to and fro, out of control. And a lot of you have been around long enough in the charismatic circles to know that even some of your friends, oh, hey, let's run over here now. This is where it's going on. This is where it's happening. And then they run over here. This is where it's happening. They go to this camp. Then they go here and they run here. And they're still doing that today. And they're weak.
Yes, sir.
See, you stayed put. Stayed with. Do you remember the prophet? The whirlwind came, the fire came, all kinds of stuff happened, and it said the Lord wasn't in it. And then the still small voice. How many remember reading that over there? Elijah. See, we got to be careful that we don't get caught up in somebody's teaching. If you ever notice, a lot of this teaching, it has enough word in it to get you, to hook you, but if you get into it, it takes you from the Word. Ooh, that's good preaching, Pastor. Go ahead. I think I will. See, if y'all don't inspire me, I inspire myself. I've been doing this so long, I inspire my own self. Come on. You know, no matter what anyone teaches, keep speaking the Word. But with an attitude of love.
Yes.
Remember?
Amen.
That 15th verse said, speak the truth in all things, grow into him who is the head in Christ, in speaking the truth in love.
Yes.
Have you ever noticed that some of these people today, if you disagree with their doctrine, they attack you and they get mean and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
You know, I have people attack my faith and attack me personally because they don't. But you know what? I just keep teaching the Word in love. I mean, hey, I can't help it if they don't understand God. I can't make them. See, they try to, if you don't agree with them, they try to make you agree with them. I better get off of that. Look at James 1:5. James 1:5. Anybody getting anything out of this?
Yes, sir.
How many of this is just re-stirring. They're stirring up what you have let get away from you. See, we need to be re-stirred up ever so often. How many of you have a fireplace in your house? And how many of you have you still burn real wood? A few of you. I got fireplaces in the living room and in my bedroom, but I don't burn the real wood. It got to be too much of a job taking ashes out. But when you burn the real wood, ever so often you got to take that poker and poke it around in there, and guess what? The flames shoot back up. Stir it up. That's what we need to do with the basics of the Word of God. See, the reason that they go back to those things in those classes, because that's the basics. Yes. That's the foundation for all math.
Yes, sir.
How many of you guys played football? The basics for football is proper stance, weight on your proper stance, right?
Yes, sir.
Blocking and tackling.
Yes, sir.
Guess what? When you come back for practice after the summer, I'm talking about in high school now, and you come back, what is the first thing you did?
Basics.
Huh?
Blocking
and tackling. The basics.
Yes, sir.
Every time. You go to the pro camps today, and they start out, once again, blocking and tackling, because that's the basics.
Yes, sir.
Stance, you know. And in basketball, it's your foot movement, you know.
Yes, yes, yes.
And in football, if you know in basketball, you gotta be careful. Don't get like this. You gotta move like this,
because
if you get like this, you're trapped. You don't do that in football either. You got the basic stance. Baseball, the basics. A stance in the batter's box, you know, okay? Your stance in the outfield. The infielders have a certain stance. Outfielders have another stance. You ever notice in football, the linemen have one stance. The linebackers behind them got another, and the defensive backs back here got another stance. See, it's basics. It's the basics. That everything goes off of the basics. Everything comes off of the basics of God's word. It says here in James. Now you found that while I talked, didn't you?
Yes.
I was just filling in time while you talk. If any man lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. This man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. Now, I had one lady say, yeah, it's talking about the men there. It's not talking about the ladies. And I had to inform her that word man there is a neutral gender term meaning mankind, all of us.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Now, it says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea. You ever been on a lake and get up in a cove and you know, and the boats are going by, and the waves are coming and hit this side of the rocks and go back over here. You know, and you just rock, sit there and rock. Your boat sits there and rocks.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because it's just here and there, here and there. And he said, that man should not think he received anything. A person who speaks doubt and unbelief, they're like the wave of the sea, blown, tossed around by the wind. Not able to receive from God. And I want you to notice here, it says that this kind of person that doesn't maintain and hold fast his confession and keeps the same confession, it says here that they are unstable in all their ways.
Yes, yes.
Now, I could do a little meddling here, but sometimes some people that are unstable with the things of God, they're unstable in the natural too. They're wishy-washy, we call it.
Wishy-washy, yes, sir.
Everybody understand that term?
Yes, sir.
that's a good old Southern term anyway, but
Maybe they use it up north. I don't know. I have to be careful when I go speak in other countries. I have to ask, especially if I'm going through an interpreter, I have to show them my notes and ask. I say, will this fit here? Because we do a lot of play on words, and in some of the countries, there's no play on the words. You know, I'm going to say something. Even a doubtful person will receive something. He will receive what he says.
That's good. Amen. Amen,
Pastor. Not maintaining a confession of faith is being like a wave of the sea. I've already said that. Unstable, not firm. Leaning to this, and then to that, and then to this, and then to that. That's like a lot of the charismatics. We used to call them the cruise-o-matics. They cruise over here for a while, and cruise over here for a while, and cruise over here. Come on now, I see some of you laughing. Maybe you was there until you got stable. No, it wasn't you, it was your brother. Yeah, one time, maybe it's your neighbor. See, one time, Craig was 3 years old, and we had been to a Rangers baseball game, I think, and I bought him a big old long pencil, had a Ranger painted on it. And so we came home, and there were pencil marks all over the wall in the hall. I said, Craig, did you do that? He said, no, Daddy, I didn't do it. The neighbor man did. Didn't he, honey? Neighbor man done it. Neighbor man done it. You know, I think that's the way we are sometimes. No, it wasn't me, God. It was him. See, but we have to decide to keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the word. Confession of faith without wavering will keep you afloat in the storms of life. A confession of faith without wavering will enable you to firmly be grounded in the Word of God. A confession of faith without wavering will keep you positioned to receive from the Lord. And then real quick, that last one, for he is faithful that promise. If you maintain, hold fast, maintain your confession without wavering, you'll get it because he's faithful to promise. He is faithful to do what he promised.
Amen.
You know, great power is released when you begin to speak the word of God in faith. Determined consistently to stay with your confession of faith. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him that believes. Romans 10:17 says, if you have the God kind of faith, you'll cause those things to be not as though they were. Hello. Amen. Hey, just remember, maintain the strong confession of faith. Did you get something tonight? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I tried to talk to the people for a few moments tonight about some of the basics in when it comes to believing and receiving from you. Help us, Father, tonight that we'll go back and stir up those things that we know and we have heard. And Father, if this is the first time for somebody to hear it, Father, help them to grab a hold of it and begin to put it into action in their lives. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. Everybody stand up, please. Hey, if you are here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you need to rededicate your life, if you need to pray with these people to receive the Holy Spirit or for any other reason whatsoever, ladies are here, men's over here. As we dismiss, you come right down here to the front. They'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you want healing, they'll pray with you. If you want somebody to agree with you for a job, they will pray with you. Okay? Hey, connection team, go find our first-time guests. Take them to the connection room and our area and let them get that gift that we have. And we really thank you that you're here with us tonight.
If you're looking for a church home, why we say church? Amen. If you're out just visiting from out of that area, then we would say to you, hey, make this your home, away from home every time you're in our area. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for first-time guests. Amen. Amen. Remember, Sunday morning right here, it's going to be another celebration. I got a special message to preach. And then Sunday night, the big pizza party. And for you that don't know, when we first started the church in 1985, it was October the 20th, 1985. October the 18th this year would be the same as it was in 85. It would have been the 20th in 85, and it's 18th in 2015. We would all load up and go down to Crystal's Pizza at 21st and Sheridan for pizza. Anybody here that remembers that? I got a few people raising their hand. Then that's when we bought the first bus so we could load people up that didn't have a ride. We kept doing that until, they went out of business. Then we went to some other places until nobody could hold the crowd anymore. But the reason we want you to sign up and get you a ticket back there is so we'll know how many pizzas to order, okay? So it's very important that you go sign up, all right? There are going to be special things Sunday morning, special things Sunday night, and then the next week is the final week in the month. It's going to be the grand finale, and man, you don't want to miss Sunday morning. You miss Sunday morning, you're going to miss half of your life. I guarantee you. All right. Hey, turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to maintain my confession. What about you? Hey, if you need prayer for anything, come to the front right now.